For the word. 1 Samuel 16:14, the Bible says, "And the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul," I'm quoting scripture, "and an evil spirit from the Lord," or with God's permission, "troubled him." Troubled him. 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 And when the Spirit of God departs, and God turns you over, gives you up, and turns you over to the devil, you're long gone. You're long gone. And under some circumstances, God will not only give you up, but he'll turn you over. Balaam died with his eyes open. Not because he couldn't hear from God, but because when he heard from God, he said, "I'm going to go anyway." But he died on the wrong battlefield. Sightless eyes wide open on the battlefield, looking up. Why? God gave him up, and God turned him over to his enemies. God gave Ahab up. God gave Jezebel up. And God turned Ahab over to the will of his enemies. And God turned Jezebel over to the dogs. Oh, yes, he did. God gave Belshazzar up. And God turned Belshazzar over to the will of his enemies. And after he saw that finger writing on yonder's wall, in 6 hours, he was a cold, dead corpse over at the funeral parlor. His blood running out in the gutter. Where there had been life, now is formaldehyde. Raise your hand and say, "God, don't ever let this happen to me. Don't ever let it happen to me. Jesus, don't depart from me. Don't turn me over to the spirit of the enemy. God, I'll say yes tonight. I'll say yes. Oh, yes." In Oakland, California, out under the prayer tent, I had a table erected there every afternoon. A desk, 2 chairs. People sat across the desk from me. I had private interviews with them. And a woman that had been a church member and seemingly a Christian for years told me some problems she was having. Asked my advice. I said, "Lady, you can't do that. You can't do that and make heaven your home." And she wanted me to give her permission and tell her it was all right. Because ever since she could remember, the time she was a little girl, she had been bound by that thing and tormented with it. I gave her a prayer card. It was a red one. Red prayer cards and pink ones generally mean that people are demon-possessed or need deliverance of some kind. And I said, I'll call this card tonight, be the first one in the prayer line. I called the prayer line that night and looked. A long line of people stood for prayer, but I looked for the woman that I'd given the card to in the prayer tent, and I warned her. I said, if you don't get deliverance from this thing, I said, in 30 days you'll be a wild raving maniac in an insane asylum, because you can't do this and keep peace in your mind. You'll go crazy and insane. There she still sat way back under the tent. She never got in the prayer line. The next Sunday afternoon I called pink cards hoping she'd use hers. She never used it. She sat in that tent. And after the Sunday afternoon service, she went home. But Tuesday morning at daylight, I looked outside my trailer because of such a noise and confusion outside the trailer. I raised the Venetian blinds. All of us lived in trailer houses on the tent lot then. There was a man and a woman having a fight. It was really a wrestling match. They were rolling outside my trailer house, between the trailer house and the tent. And I was amazed. The woman had very little clothes on, just a little up here and a little down here. And I thought, what in the world is taking place and what has happened? I thought a husband and a wife probably had started home from a tavern and she'd drunk and he was trying to get her to go home. But as they rolled on the ground, I thought, oh my God, I know that man. I recognized the woman. The man and the woman had been in our meeting over a week on a vacation. That was the same woman that refused to use the pink card that left Sunday afternoon, and this is Tuesday morning. I never heard such curse words and swearing in my life from the woman. I thought, oh my God, this isn't a couple of drunks headed home at this late hour because the sun was just rising. By that time, some of our tent boys were coming on duty. They rescued that man because that woman had the strength of a gorilla. They saved his life. And they tied that woman and took her in the prayer tent. Said, Brother Allen, what shall I do with her? I said, put her in the prayer tent. I'll be there when God tells me to come. Said, you know what's wrong with her? I said, I know what's wrong with her. I warned her Saturday that if she didn't get loose from this thing, God would give her up and turn her over. And I said, God has turned her over to an insane demon. Later, went in the prayer tent. The man ran up and grabbed my hand and said, Brother Allen, remember me? Why, I said, I could never forget you. Said, we were here all last week under the tent in Oakland. We only left Sunday afternoon. He said, tell me. What has happened to my wife? I said, you tell me what happened. He said, we left here Sunday afternoon. I went back to my work down near Los Angeles. He said, Monday morning I rose and got in my car and went to work, worked 8 hours. Said, I left my wife perfectly normal and mentally she was well. But said, when I came back from work Monday afternoon, he said, I opened the door, and as I walked in the living room, all the curtains were torn off of the walls and off of the windows. Everything was topsy-turvy. He said, I looked in the bedroom, all the beds were torn asunder. He said, I saw curtains on fire, the curtains from the living room burning in the bathtub. And he said, I looked, the tables were overturned, dishes were broke everywhere. And he said, standing in the kitchen door was my wife with a butcher knife that long. He said, I looked at her. One look, he said, I knew she was crazy. She had lost her mind from the time I had left her in the morning and returned from after work hours. He said, Brother Allen, it was just the grace of God, or she would have killed me. And he said, it was just God. God helped me like he helped Samson, or she would have killed me with that butcher knife. He said, I finally subdued her. I managed to tie her up, and I waited till it got dark because I didn't want nobody to see me dragging her out to the car. And he said, I've been driving all night long to get here back from Los Angeles to the Oakland meeting. And he said, when I parked my car out here by the tent, she seemed to be all right, and I untied her thinking she'd come on in. But said, when I untied her, was like a barrel of serpents, like a gorilla. And he said, you know the rest. But he said, why did God let this happen? And I thought, friend, I can't tell you. Because the woman made me promise I would not tell her husband. But here's the answer for you. And I quote Romans 1. God also gave them up. The 28th verse, and God gave them over. A young man who was a little too fond of money and carrying a bag full of it, wanted everything for himself, strolled outside the walls of the city. In his hand he had a rope. And if you would have asked him, what are you going to do with the rope? He said, I'm going to end it all. Life's no longer worth living. What happened to Judas? I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm going to quote one verse of scripture from Romans 1:14. God also gave them up. And the 28th verse, God gave them over. And under some circumstances, God gives some people up. And he turns them over. In this particular case, he gave Judas up and turned him over to a suicide demon. And tonight, Judas, a man who was called, a man who was chosen, a man who was ordained, a man who was called to preach, heal the sick, and cast out devils, is in hell. Because a man is never eternally secure unless you hold fast, steadfast to the end, everything God does for you. What a horrible way for an ordained minister, called of God, anointed of God, blessed of God, sent forth by Jesus, heal the sick, cast out devils. What a horrible way for a preacher to die. But some of our friends may say, but Brother Allen, you don't really believe, do you, that Judas was saved? Acts 1, listen to this. He was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry, that he may take part of this ministry in apostleship, from whence Judas by transgression fell. In Matthew 10, 1 through 4, Jesus called to him his 12 disciples. He called them. He sent them forth. He ordained them. And the fourth verse said Simon was one of them, the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. He was one of the number who were called, ordained, sent forth to heal the sick and to cast out devils. And listen, Jesus doesn't call a devil to preach. Jesus doesn't call a devil to cast out devils. He doesn't call a devil to heal the sick. Many of our friends of a certain denomination say, but didn't the Bible say Satan entered into him? Yes. But the 27th verse of John 13 says, and after the sop, Satan entered into him. And it entered into him after he was called, ordained, and chosen of God to be an ordained minister. In the 16th chapter of Judges, a little brunette woman shook a man of God, or rather he had been up until that moment. He was a man chosen of God, blessed of God. He'd found honey. He had taken it to his mother and he'd taken it to his daddy. He had blessed many. He was so anointed of God. He had picked up the jawbone of an ass and the power of God came on him and the anointing of God. And he had slain 1,000 Philistines because of the anointing of God in his life. But he crossed the bridge one time too many. He rebelled and he refused. He gambled one time too many. I believe he had a gambling spirit. He said, I've been doing this. I've been getting by. because I've been getting by and God's been letting me get by and nothing has happened, I can continue to do it and I'll get by. And God will wink at my sins. But when the little woman said, "Samson, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee," he said, "I'll get up and I'll go out and I'll shake myself as before." But the scripture said he wished not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. And you find it in the 20th verse of Judges 16. He said, "I will go out as before," but he didn't know that the Lord was departed. And God doesn't depart from some place where he's never been. And you can't depart from this city unless you've been in this city. And God couldn't depart from a man unless God had been with him and for him and upon him and blessed him. But he didn't know that God had departed from him. He went out as before, but the Philistines with sharp burning sticks gouged out his eyes, put him in a prison. And year after year after year, a man who had been anointed of God, blessed of God, became a beast of burden. Pull the old mill in the prison cell. They made a plain old jackass out of him. A donkey, a mule, a beast of burden. Sightless eyes now, a prisoner. Don't tell me you can't depart from God, or that God can't depart from you after you've once known God. In 1 Samuel 31, a man named Saul put a sword, the point of it, up here under his heart. And you know what happened? And that foul thing thrust through him. And that man's name was what? His name was Saul. And he was a man that was called, because Samuel declared that he was called, he was chosen. And that man was blessed. Here, listen to this. Oh, my Lord, do you feel what I'm preaching? And Samuel said to all the people, "See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen? That there is none like him among all the people." And all the people shouted and said, "God save the king." That was their way of shouting. We see he's a man of God, that God has chosen him. But listen, but Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly." This is only three chapters later in 1 Samuel 13. "Thou hast not kept the commandments of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever." Listen to this. "Then said the Lord unto his servants, Seek me out a woman that have a fortune-telling demon, that I might go to hear her, inquire of her. And his servants said to him, Behold, there is a woman that have a familiar spirit at Endor. And here's a backslid man going to a fortune teller because he's so uncertain and unsure of the future. Why? Here is what he said in 1 Samuel 28, 16. God departed from me and he answers me no more. And when God departs from a man and he answers you no more, you're in a bad spiritual condition. Bow your heads, everyone. If God ever gives you up because of sin, self-will, disobedience, rebellion, your insistence on living your own life without God, your own sinful way without Jesus, hear me, God will give you up, because the scripture says, as far back as Moses, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. So bow your heads, everybody. God's going to save every sinner and every backslider tonight. Jesus Save every sinner and backslider tonight. Don't give up one person who've heard me preach. Don't turn one person over to the will of their enemies, but save every one tonight that hear the voice of God and feel the tug and the move of God's Spirit.